340, just kind of picking his brain a little bit, getting into his thought processes. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, we did ask him about the situation in Miami with Brian Flores and with Tua and kind of his thoughts on that. Like, was Tua a little bit too honest when it came to Brian Flores? Or was that the type of thing that Mike McDaniels is doing right? We need to give Mike McDaniels some kudos, basically. Trying to figure out what his thought philosophy is. Like, is he a rah-rah type coach that's going to get everyone up? We've known him for long enough that he's not a rah-rah guy, but somebody that's going to preach positivity. Or is he just going to be the other guy that's going to be like, I don't think you're good enough. We need to get you where you need to be. We need to get you better because you're not good enough right now. There's two schools of thought, and Dustin, I'm sure you've been around different coaches that do all sorts of different
I've
had tactics.
A variety of coaches, not just from college and pro, but like even high school coaches have a certain way about them. And high school coaches are really good coaches too. And you heard Stefanski talk about
St. Ed's.
Lombardo, at Ed's. And he is a hell of a coach. Got a chance to know him a little bit last year. So, yeah, I don't – there's different ways to coach a football team and to get them motivated. Certain coaches don't say a whole lot. And that's okay. Like, Trussell wasn't a rah-rah guy.
What worked best for you?
For me?
Yeah, for you. Were you the type of person –
like, I liked Trussell's style because it was just – he was very calm, but when he did have to raise his voice or was upset about something, you knew he meant business.
Yeah.
As opposed to some coaches, I feel like when you just swear all the time or you're just up guys, you know what, all the time, it just sort of becomes lip service at some point. And I didn't respond to that. I mean, there are coaches that use the F word every other word. It's like, yeah, you might want to save that.
Sucks.
You might want to save that for, like, an important moment.
Yeah.
I heard Trussell's used that word twice in 4 years.
Okay. That'd be about the same rate that I do it.
Pretty sure we all were like, huh?
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing with sports radio, right? If I come on here every single day and all I'm doing is yelling and yelling and yelling and then saying the most ridiculous things, eventually you're going to be like, well, it doesn't matter if you say a ridiculous thing because you say a ridiculous thing every day. Meanwhile, if I never say a ridiculous thing and then I come on the radio and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, then it's going to come with some more punch. Like, it just does. It just hits a little bit harder.
Right.
You know, I was listening to Danny Parkins earlier today, and Parkins got a new TV job lined up. Used to be at 670 The Score. And he was talking about the Tua situation, and he was trying to make the case that it doesn't matter, like, because Tua, like, at some point talent wins out in those discussions anyway, and if Tua's that great, then it didn't matter what Brian Flores had to say because Tua's just great. And I just disagreed with it. Like, I don't buy into that process, because if Tua was that great, he would have had success with Brian Flores, and Brian Flores wouldn't have gotten canned. Like, clearly there is something that works with certain players and other players don't. I think it's the hardest thing about being a head coach, finding out what does work and what doesn't work. I think it's an advantage for the Browns that they have so many guys returning from that defensive side of the ball. Like, Stefanski talked about all the changes and everything that turns over, but when you have so many guys from defense and offense, like, Jerry Jeudy's one of the new mixes offensively. Outside of that, though, we don't have too many new guys to the offense, too many new guys to the defense, and you get to find out what works best for these guys when it comes to coaching. Like, what actually does make someone like Dustin Fox click, for instance?
Well, it certainly wasn't, like, yelling at me. I like coaches that would coach, call me out when I needed to make a play, but I didn't respond to just the, you know, degrading stuff. I didn't like that at all. I had a couple coaches like that in high school that really, really pissed me off.
I would think so. Well, yeah, and you were all everything at that high school.
But I wasn't a diva.
No.
You know, I wasn't like
you
somebody.
You could have been, probably. You
for
weren't, but you could
sure
have been.
I could have
you
been.
Had the accomplishments to be a diva if you wanted to.
There was one moment, and I was not a diva. Far from it.
I know. I've known you for 8 years. I know you're not a diva.
We were, like, running sprints. We got in trouble or something, and one of our coaches, he threw me out of practice, actually. Because I was so pissed at him that, like, under my breath, I called him a mother bleeper. And somehow he heard me, and he threw a pen at me and threw me out of practice. He threw the pen and said, go sign some autographs. And I was like, dude, when have I ever been that guy?
Go sign some. He'd been holding on to that one for so long.
He must have held that for
two years.
And
just waiting for that moment that he could do that to you. Oh, that's funny. And it probably didn't work, because knowing you, it wouldn't have worked that way. You wouldn't have liked that at all.
Like, no.
That's the thing. It just makes it so tough. I mean, you got 90 guys. It's going to be down to 53, obviously. But everyone's just built different, and everybody responds differently. It's just how it is.
Yeah, I mean, like, that coach had it out for me no matter what.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I've had coaches like that. I'm sure people out there listening have had coaches like that. It doesn't help the player.
No.
They think it does.
I do think it's an advantage for the Browns, though, returning as many guys as they are.
Yeah.
And Bill Barnwell in his piece, like, he talked about that. There's a couple things he got on the Browns with. He talked about the idea, though. And in case you're just joining us, Bill Barnwell had it on ESPN that the Browns were going to be one of his five teams that he projects to take a step backwards. But he had three teams in the AFC North taking a step backwards. He had the Steelers were in there. The Ravens were in there. Like, we're not alone in his column that just kind of just went through the AFC North and ripped him. But one point he brought up that I think was good, and I want your opinion on, Dustin, is the idea that the Browns were 6-2 in one score games. You know, it brings up the 49ers game. He brings up the Colts game. He brings up the Ravens game. He brings up that Bears game where we're down 17-10 with 4 minutes left to go. Joe Flacco finds a way to get the ball to Amari Cooper, and the rest is history. He goes for a 52-yard touchdown, and Joku gets the two long catch and runs. You set up a game-winning field goal, and the Browns just kept having moments like that over and over again. The 49ers game with the Jake Moody kick. Like, it just kept feeling like over and over and over again. Even the Ravens game. You're down against Baltimore, two touchdowns with 8:57 left to go. You're not supposed to win that game. But the Browns kept winning games like that. We talked about the Colts game a little bit earlier today. Colts game, it was 38-33, 5:38 left to go. And you get stopped in the first three goal line attempts to then have Kareem Hunt squeeze it in at the end to get the win. Like, the Browns were on the right side of the one-score games. And I don't know if that carries from one year to the next, because typically in football, it doesn't. But I do think there's something to the idea that the Browns, in finding ways to win those games and having a lot of the same guys from last year, if they get down two scores, they're not going to feel like, oh, we're down and out.
Yeah, I think the X factor in those moments, you know, those close games, there's obviously some, like, luck involved. But there's also, like, something to be said for the team and the coaches to have that belief that when you're in a tight ball game, you can come through and get the victory. We felt that way in 2002. Didn't matter how, like, we were down in a bunch of games and
still, you've talked before about
came back just because we had this belief. And maybe you don't believe that that's a real thing, or like the momentum of the season, but I felt it was real, and it certainly proved to be true for us on the field. And I think the Browns, again, new season, so it could change, but I do think Kevin Stefanski has a very calm demeanor about himself that when in those moments gives them a chance to come back and erase some of those mistakes and make up for them.
And maybe that is. Maybe that's just his personality. And obviously, I was talking to him, you know, 40 minutes ago, and you can use the Odyssey Rewind, go back and listen to it. But, like, just in him being at the table with us, there's just a sense of calmness. You know, sometimes you do these interviews, and it feels like the communications guy off to the side is just kind of, like, eyeing you up and down, and the coach feels like they don't want to be there or anything like that. And then before you know it, you're like, oh, no. Like, this is, like, every question I ask is going to be – it's going to be scrutinized, and it's going to be looked at, and it's going to be this, and it's going to be that. And with Stefanski, it's not at all. Like, there is a comfort there. There definitely is a comfort there. And you just saw it with the interview with us, but then you see it just in his everyday, and you just see him walking around. He seems like he's in charge. If a fire broke out, I'm expecting Kevin Stefanski to come with the bottle or the big jug of water or the fire hose and be like, I got it, guys. Like, we're taken care of. We're fine. It's just that mentality that I feel like, I don't know, it went to the Browns last year. It's why they won as many one-score games as they did. Some weird outliers from last year, though. You had the one-score games, and yeah, they do return the top nine defenders by snap count from a year ago. A lot of the same defense, but it's that same defense that at home they allowed 10 points a game. On the road, they allowed 31 points a game. Like, there's a good and a bad that comes with this, and I'm curious to see what ends up happening. But I don't know. At 11 wins, I feel like that's a Vegas.
If 11 wins is definitely getting you in the playoffs.
Oh, really?
Playoffs?
Can't win a
I didn't
game,
even mean to do
playoffs.
That, but it came out.
That's okay.
Full Mora.
Well, we're outside, so sometimes you go for a full
God, what a
beautiful Mora on
day. What a gift today is, man. This is just awesome.
Well, it's going to be – I think we're going to have, like, the next couple months of something like this, right?
Like, totally okay with this.
We're getting into fall weather.
Totally okay with this.
I got once I started wearing hoodies, I'm not going back.
Yeah?
The hoodies came out. You see it right here. I'm wearing the hoodies.
Yeah, I busted out my hoodies yesterday.
Yeah, I wore one yesterday, too. Oh, they're not coming.
Wore pants
That's it.
Last night.
Well, we wouldn't have had to spend $150 on a blanket.
True.
That would have been. Well, I think you wanted to, though.
Well, now that I got the blanket, I like it. You missed it earlier. I had to buy a blanket at Tennis in the Land.
When you described the blanket with the tennis rackets on them, you sounded like a 10-year-old that was just really happy with his purchase. You know, like you're like, yeah, this is great.
I was happy.
Yeah, and it's going to be your favorite
blanket. I wasn't happy initially.
Why? Because you spent $150 on a blanket.
I didn't think any blanket should cost $150.
I don't think so either. I might get on Amazon right away and be like, how fast can we get this thing here? I mean, what are we doing? I might take an Uber over to like a store and get a blanket before I spend $150 on a blanket. But, hey, you didn't want it to ruin your night.
And it did not. It allowed me to stay for another set.
And then your high school coach popped out and threw you a pen and said, go sign.
Can you believe that?
You diva, go sign.
He's actually one of my good friends of this day when I see him.
You should only throw pens in his direction.
No.
Next time you see him, take out a pen, go sign. That'd be a lot of fun. Fun for me. All right, we come back. We got to get to the Guardians. Big series with the Guardians and the Yankees. It's been a little deflated. I'm not a rah-rah guy. I don't have to get you excited for a series against the Yankees. You're all going to watch. There's one reason why I feel like this series shouldn't be looked at the way that it is. It's afternoon drive. Jonathan Pito and Dustin Fox with you guys right here on The Fan.